This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a brief look at Monday's headlines, and we begin at the U.S. Supreme Court, where the justices on Monday, by a vote of 6-3, upheld a federal law that makes it a crime to provide quote-unquote material support to designated foreign terrorist groups, even when that support involves training or advice on humanitarian activities. Writing for the majority was Chief Justice John Roberts, who said, quote, "Everyone agrees that the government's interest in combating terrorism is an urgent objective of the highest order." But the author of the dissent, Justice Stephen Breyer, was blistering in his dissent and even read some of it from the bench, which is rather unusual in practice for the High Court. He noted that the Los Angeles-based Humanitarian Law Project, which challenged the law, had wanted to assist the Kurdistan Workers' Party, a militant separatist group in Turkey, in petitioning the United Nations for relief and peacefully resolving disputes. Breyer said the activities at issue involved political advocacy generally covered by the First Amendment. In his dissent, Breyer says, quote, "The government has not made the strong showing necessary to justify, under the First Amendment, the criminal prosecution of those who engage in these activities." But in responding to that, Justice Roberts, in his opinion, writing, quote, "The dissent fails to address the real dangers at stake. It instead considers only the possible benefits of the challenger's proposed activities in the abstract. The dissent seems unwilling to entertain the prospect that training and advising a designated foreign terrorist organization on how to take advantage of international entities might benefit that organization in a way that facilitates its terrorist activities." Again, the vote was 6-3, with the typical sides forming on this case, with the one exception of the more liberal John Paul Stevens voting with the more conservative majority. For a full analysis of this decision, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. There you can catch my interview with David Gardenstein Ross. He is the Vice President of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's also an attorney and understands these issues from a number of perspectives. We'll also ask why, if it's illegal to provide any sort of material support, humanitarian or otherwise, to a known terrorist organization, why did the United States just send $400 million to Hamas-controlled Gaza? In other national security news today, a back and forth between the White House and Arizona Senator John Kyle over the president's strategy when it comes to immigration reform. On Friday, Kyle was speaking to a Tea Party gathering in North Phoenix, Arizona, and was describing a meeting he had with the president. And he said the president contended the problem is if we secure the border, then you all won't have any reason to support comprehensive immigration reform. To which Kyle told the group, they want to get something in return for doing their duty. The White House strongly denying that version of events, with Deputy Press Secretary Bill Burton saying on Monday, quote, "The president didn't say that. Senator Kyle knows the president didn't say that." Asked if Kyle was lying or exaggerating, Burton says he'll let other folks make that determination. On the White House website, the president's official position is that he believes our broken immigration system can only be fixed by putting politics aside and offering a complete solution that secures our borders, enforces our laws, and reaffirms our heritage as a nation of immigrants. Another interesting report coming out in the last couple of days, and that's from the Congressional Budget Office about who pays taxes. According to the CBO, those making just north of $34,000 in a household to those making north of $141,000 pay now a majority of federal income tax revenue. It's also reported in the CBO study that the top 20% of income earners in the United States pay more than 69% of federal income taxes, but they only bring in about 56% of the overall income. So they do pay their fair share. They actually pay quite a bit more than their fair share. On the other hand, those making south of $34,300 actually make money through the federal tax system thanks to the earned income tax credit. And the less money made, the larger percentage of money actually received from the federal government. For a full analysis on that, as well as a larger look at the Obama tax policy agenda, head to worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org, and find my interview with Pete Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union. Also today, President Obama heading to Southeast Washington, D.C. for a Father's Day event just one day after the official day. The president telling dads in the nation's capital that they don't need to be perfect, they just need to be there for their kids.
Here's the key message I think all of us want to send today to fathers all across the country. You know, our children don't need us to be superheroes. They don't need us to be perfect. They do need us to be present. They need us to show up and give it our best shot, no matter what else is going on in our lives.
The president is also launching a number of initiatives designed at improving the performance of fathers around the country. But the president is also in the crosshairs of a few groups today following his written Father's Day proclamation, which was issued on Sunday. In it, the president said that nurturing families can be raised through the work of a father and a mother, a single father, two fathers, a stepfather, or a grandfather or a respected and trusted guardian. Plenty of pro-family organizations furious at the president now equating the two gay men raising a child with that of a father and mother, which they say is the ideal and has been the ideal since the dawn of time. For more analysis on this, as well as the larger Obama agenda on gay issues, see my interview with Peter LaBarbera of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. That's, again, at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. On the political front today, rumors from a British newspaper that White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel may be leaving his job within the next 6 to 8 months, most likely just after this year's midterm elections. According to the report, Emanuel is growing dissatisfied with the fact that he is more of a pragmatist and there are many more idealists in the president's administration that he keeps butting heads with. Today, the president's press team calling such reports ludicrous. Emanuel is also reportedly worried that the job is just taking too much time, especially away from his young children. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.